Welcome back to Profiling Criminal Minds, where I, Dan, and my partner,
Sheila,
discuss criminal minds, look over the episodes, talk about where the show succeeds and where it fails, and of course, talk about the real cases that inspired the episodes, as well as the background of profiling itself. We're here for a kind of supersized episode this week, in which we're going to talk four episodes, because we want to make space for two kind of really significant episodes next week, and this week's just kind of, you know, meh. Is that too mean for the episode this week? I think there's a couple of good things in them, but, you know.
Well, yeah, every now and then you see something in them. I'm just, but Blood Hungry was meh. Popular yeah. Kids.
You know what?
Yeah, let's go.
We'll get there. Before we get there, I understand you just recently read a book that kind of fits in with this?
Well, only sort of, but with later episodes. I mean, it was called Buried Secrets by Edward Humes, and it was done in the early 90s. And it's about the Constanzo. About the Palo Mayombe cult in Mexico that was allied, sort of the black side of Santeria,
And these are the guys who worked for the drug dealers and the drug dealers were like, we'll give you people to human sacrifice and you can protect our business via black magic. That's these guys, right?
Well, these were the drug dealers, but this, he started off in Miami and moved to Mexico City, and it would appear that he's the one that came up with the idea of getting into the, because he was working with the criminal gangs in Mexico City, and then decided he needed a cut of it. He wanted to be a part. They didn't like that, and so there was one drug family. He just literally slaughtered the entire family in a ritual in Mexico.
Ritual sacrifice.
Yeah, and the police, Mexico City, and the federales assume. It was like it's never been closed, but they just assume, they knew.
That it was his cult who did it.
Well, yeah. Not only that, but they say they did it. Like the ones that were left alive when they caught him, and they caught them and captured everybody. A true story of serial murder, black magic, and drug running on the U.S. border.
So let's get the book title one more time.
It's called Buried Secrets.
It is worth people checking out?
Yeah, I think it's worth reading. It's interesting. And as I was just mentioning to you, I mean, I just saw, you know, the little, because there are some claims that he makes by the end of this book, and that sort of the FBI, the police, and the federales, and in the states in particular, are making about some of these drug gangs, particularly the Latino drug gangs that are allied with Mexico and then with Colombia, etc., and with Noriega and the rest of it, right? And I just finished watching episode five of or six of Better Call Saul, and as they
in which it specifically references that, yeah,
like it doesn't. There's no comment on it. It just pans over the shrine, and I'm looking at it and going. Yeah. But that's the same God that
that's
we've got.
That's the same cult.
Well, the same God in the shrine that they've got in this book, Buried Secrets, which is about the 80s, really. I mean, it's about the 80s.
What you got to remember is this is something that it was well known, because in Breaking Bad, like the cousins, they go before they're going to kill Hank. They go and they pray at the shrine, and they give offerings to the shrine of this thing. There's that whole scene where they drive out to where the shrine is, and because of the way the cult works, they have to crawl to the shrine on their hands and knees to get there before they even leave the offerings, and then crawl on their hands and knees back. And they always do that before they go to do one of their massacres, and they believe that they're going to be protected by this black spirit. And I think what this book is saying is, yeah, that all actually happened. Basically, the cousins, Hector's nephews, Tuco's cousins, are pretty much 100% accurate,
Yes.
historically
Yeah. Based
accurate.
on the Hernandez family in and others, except that in Breaking Bad they don't have human sacrifices, and this was, I mean, this book is
Well, to be fair, we don't actually
no,
know
that, well, to be fair, we don't
that.
actually know that. I'd have
The
to go.
show was not about them, so we don't know what they were doing when they were off
No,
camera.
and because I haven't, I mean, I'd have to go back. I hadn't read this book. And
Yeah.
was
But anyway,
anyway.
if it sounds like it's a good read. It's well written, it moves along quickly, I assume. It's like worth people checking out. So that is really good to hear. I'm going to encourage people to check
He's
that
a
out
good
as well.
writer. But it does have sort of a weird little connection with a
Yeah.
later episode in
We'll
Minds.
bring it up when we get to that Criminal Minds episodes. But first, we're going to start off with episode 10, The Popular Kids. So very first thing that happens in this episode, some teens are hiking in the woods. In fact, I'm just going to read the synopsis. The BAU is called to a small town located near Manuten Mountain after local authorities conclude that two high school students may have been the victims of a cult killing. Meanwhile, Reed battles with a recurring nightmare. Okay, so this episode is, I mean, it's almost like being perfu saying, I'm going to use this term a lot when talking about the show. It's almost like saying perfunctory is too good to describe this episode. First off, I don't understand. So I mean, spoiler alert. I know we do all spoilers here,
So,
so I shouldn't do this. But it's like the episode opens with this couple running together. And then the guy runs ahead because he's an asshole, let's face it. And then he gets his head caved in. And then the girlfriend finds him like 2 minutes later. And then the guy comes out of the woods and attacks her. Right? And later we'll find out that he was just envious of the guy and wanted the girl from himself. And that's why he killed the guy. Right? That's his motive. He had no intention of killing her when he went out there. So my question is, after he had successfully killed the guy, why didn't he leave? Like, she didn't know he was there. She didn't see him. She was not at risk of identifying him. So why not just leave? But instead, he, like, waits until she's distracted, then creeps out of the woods and murders
Well,
her.
no,
I'm
he
like,
doesn't murder her. He
why,
captures
though?
her and
No, but
takes her
he captures
away.
her and then he takes her away and then murders her then. But
Well,
the
and
point
he
is,
doesn't
why capture
intentionally
her?
murder her.
Yes? Oh.
No, he didn't
He
intend
doesn't
to murder her.
intentionally. Yes, it just happened. But my
It
point
was an
is,
accident.
why come. But why? Yes, to control her, to keep her from calling the cops on him, to keep her from getting away. I understand that, but I'm saying, why kidnap her at all? You've successfully murdered the guy you wanted to kill,
Your rival.
and you're free to leave. Right? You wanted to kill this guy, he's dead, you're free to just go. But he sticks around and has to kill the object of his affection. The thing is, he kills her so that we can have this misdirect in the plot about cult murders and blah, 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 blah. But that's not, like, what the episode's about, and there's no reason for him to have stuck around and killed her. In fact, everything about his character and the situation he's in suggests that after killing the guy, the second he heard her voice, because she yelled over and over again for her boyfriend while she was looking for him. So it's not like the guy didn't know she was coming. She didn't happen upon the scene and have a chance to, and like, oh my God, I've happened upon the scene, and my boyfriend's being killed by this guy, and now he's got to kill her too. That
No,
didn't
no, no, no.
happen. She literally, he knew she was coming, and instead of just leaving, he stuck around to ambush her. And I'm like,
Yeah,
why
no.
though?
And that is never, never, ever, ever. There's no sense to that
It's
because the whole
addressed,
point
yeah.
is that they were all part of the same gang. He was on the football team. Like it,
Yeah.
everything you're saying is making sense because what would have happened, what should have happened had he had any brains, but clearly he was a disorganized killer.
Except he wasn't a serial killer at all. He was just an asshole who was jealous of a relation or envious of a relationship and
No,
wanted to
what
kill
he
a guy.
wanted was the
Like
girl,
he
and he stood in, this guy
Yeah,
stood in the
exactly.
way, because then he could have
Yeah.
comforted her and he would have taken care of her.
Oh,
That was the whole
absolutely.
idea.
He's a real dirtbag. Yeah, and I mean he's that's absolutely right. And so the idea that they put it into the serial killer, disorganized killer, organized killer, you know, metric is kind of ridiculous given that that's not what this episode is about. But of course that's before they have the slightest idea what's going on in the episode, so I'm not going to hold that against them. But yeah, like it's just weird because the whole episode is predicated their misinterpretation of the thing, all of it, it's all predicated on him killing the girl as well, or kidnapping the girl and then killing her accidentally as well. But there's no reason for that to have happened. Like, the whole episode is based on an event that there's no reason to
No,
have happened.
particularly since he's
Like,
supposed to be a really cool Nietzschean dude.
yeah, and he's a smart dude, and he's Nietzsche, and he's reading the books, and blah, 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 blah. And the weird part is, you tweak that opening, right? You tweak that opening and have her go looking for her boyfriend and just see a guy in a hoodie hunched over her boyfriend hitting him with a rock. And she screams and runs away, and then the guy starts chasing her. Boom! Everything that happens in the episode
Yeah.
makes sense. All you have to do is make that one change. But the episode wanted to do this thing where, oh no, there's a woman, and now someone's creeping up behind her. They wanted to do the horror movie thing, and it shot their own plot in the foot. Like, the events make no sense, the characters make no sense, because they wanted to have the cliche horror movie thing happen instead of doing it in a way that would make sense for the characters. Because if she catches him in the act, we wouldn't have to
Who he
know. Right?
is.
All we'd know is, yeah, we wouldn't know who he is. All we know is it's a guy in a black hoodie killing the person, right? And she runs and she screams. The end. You know? We still could have thought it was Aaron Paul, speaking of Breaking Bad. Aaron Paul's in this episode, the year before, like months before he got the Breaking Bad
No,
job.
I, yeah,
You
the,
know? That's.
yeah.
Well, no, I guess a year before he got the Breaking Bad job. But yeah, like Aaron Paul's in this. Like briefly, as the head of the group of kids who are, you know, as he said, confrontational atheists.
Who listen to metal music, never
Oh yeah,
forget.
no. Oh,
Gosh.
absolutely. Well, yeah, I mean, this episode is not about the Robin Hood Hills Paradise Lost murders, but it does reference that idea.
Yeah, but it's.
That being a free thinker and being an atheist in this part of the country is the worst thing you could be, and they'll try to
Yeah,
hang
well,
anything
that's
on
the
you.
funny thing is, because that is, I mean, that you, because you can even see the way he looks. He very much looks
Yeah.
like Damien
Damien
Eccles
Eccles, yeah.
from the parrot. Yeah.
Oh no, it's definitely
Yeah.
knowingly done. I'm not saying it's
Yeah.
accidental. You're right that it's very knowingly done, that it's referencing it. I'm just saying the rest of the episode is not adapting that
Because
story at
Damien
all.
Eccles, because
Like,
this
it's
is
not that
when
story at
the
all.
whole thing is starting to really get serious about getting those guys out.
Yeah, I mean, they would get out of jail like 5 years
Yeah.
after this
Yeah.
episode. But yeah, like, the things were really heating up with the investigation,
And
and
that's
it really did look
probably the
like
genesis
there
for
was no way.
this actually that was probably the genesis
Episode.
because they have because they're talking about the cult thing and the, and of course that's why the FBI gets called in because of the cult aspect, not because of the murder.
Exactly.
Because
Yeah. That's 100% right, because the guy thinks he's too smart by half, too clever by half, and thinks I'll frame some Satanists for this, and then they'll call in the FBI. Of course, in real life, as we know in real life, they don't call in the FBI. They just round up the local weird kids, call them Satanists, and put them in jail. But that's real life.
Well, yeah, but when you read Douglas, okay, and when you're reading
Yeah.
Douglas, which I am, like, I'm reading one of Douglas's The Cases That Haunt Us now, and then I started has started his
Right.
latest book, which is Law and Disorder, and I mean he talks a lot about how, and it's actually in Buried Secrets too, how you need to have this coordination, and then this whole business of cults and stuff that they do in the United States is so wrong because as he keeps saying, not one of these guys in Buried Secrets is a Satanist. None of these guys are Satanists. No. You know?
Nope.
Anyway, it's...
No. The whole idea of Satanism is just, it's this ridiculous thing that, you know, Mike Warnke and a bunch of other people just made up in the 80s. You know, so they could sell books, so they could be hired to go on speaking tours, so that cops would pay them to give lectures. Oh, I mean, this is something that was invented by con men in the 1980s, and it ruined so many lives, because a couple of frigging con men wanted to get some, you know, some money for themselves. Hey, speaking of con men who want to get some money for themselves, did you hear the weird shout-out in this episode?
Which one?
So, in this episode, the reason they solve the mystery, we, the audience, are able to solve the case, because a kid is reading Nietzsche.
Yeah,
so
he's the killer.
End. He's the killer. There, done.
Yeah.
Can we all go home now?
That was it. Okay. I mean, the minute he showed up, you're just going, okay, he's the killer. That's it.
Yeah. And then, but then, of course, they find out, not because of any of their investigation at all, but literally because... The kids, like, the bad kids, the popular kids, had been, like, keeping a secret that they found a body and never reported it to anybody. You know, just like in The Body. You know, like in the Stephen King thing. And this, now that another person has, like, died, two more people have died in the same area where that corpse is, she freaks out and doesn't feel comfortable going to the local cops, and the FBI happen to be in town, so she goes and talks to them. And once they hear that, they know exactly what's going on. Like, they know it has nothing to do with the Satanists, and there's really only one suspect. has nothing to do with the Satanists. It's the kid who keeps telling them it's the Satanists. You know, it's not complicated to figure that one out. And the funny part is, in that scene, she's like, Mandy Patinkin, do you believe in God? Blah, 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 blah. And so he starts talking about... you know, reading religious philosophers. And then he talks about two different religious philosophers' thoughts on Katrina. Because, of course, Katrina had just happened. But the funny part is, he doesn't give my name, but I'm like, dude, he's like, one of them said it was God's punishment on America for being so sinful. And I'm like, you just called Pat Robertson a religious philosopher. That is not an accurate way of describing Pat Robertson. That is stretching the definition of the term well past its breaking
point. Okay, yes, but the other the other person that said that was Jeremiah, the minister at Barack Obama's church. Jeremiah, what the hell's this? Right. Yeah.
Jeremiah Wright, yeah, but he doesn't, he didn't say anything about... what do you call it? He didn't say that Katrina was a punishment on America for being sinful.
Oh, not Katrina, 9/11. Yeah.
No, you're talking about 9/11. And he didn't say it was God's punishment on America. Jeremiah Wright said that America brought this on itself in a secular way by interfering in the Middle East until crazy people in the Middle East attacked America. He didn't say it was divine punishment.
No, that was Abraham Lincoln.
Because that's what... yeah.
Abraham Lincoln did.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because, of course, the sin of slavery is a pretty bad thing. But, yeah, so it's not a good episode by any means. It's got this fundamental problem at the core of it where the plot doesn't really make sense because of the killer's actions. And don't say, well, he's irrational because he's a young kid. And I'm like, well, maybe, but, like, irrational people... don't put themselves into more danger when they could just run away. Like, if you told me an irrational person, no matter what the situation is, got tense and ran away, I'd be like, yeah, I believe that. Like, anytime a character flees from something, I'm like, yep, that's what humans do. But it's like this whole idea that he killed a guy, was gonna get away with it, and then confronted the object of his desire. No, that's just, it's just ludicrous, and it undermines the
whole thing. They wanted to do... I mean, I know what happened. They all sat around the writer's room, okay? And they all wanted to do an episode about, like, the Damien Eccles thing because they're all hyped up about this. Everybody was.
Yeah, about the last documentary that
So they're
came
all
out,
hyped up
absolutely.
about this, and it fits into the profiling thing. And of course, John Douglas got involved in all of that as well.
He did. That's true.
And he's the one that, as well persuaded, crazy guy that no, these guys didn't kill his
Yeah.
son.
Mark Byers, yeah, he actually managed to convince him,
Which
which
was
is
pretty
pretty
impressive. So anyway,
impressive.
so what he's
Yeah.
trying to, so they decide that they're
'Cause
going to do something about sort of the fake cult thing,
like
right?
that.
And at the
Yeah.
core, if they had started with that, and that wasn't so bad. It's just what they set up around it to deal with that. Because if you think about it, in the first year, and it's pretty clear now, and this will continue on, they always explain different types of killers, and they always explain, like they'll go through, they'll be sitting in the, it's like you're attending a classroom. You sit in the plane,
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
they'll, okay, for the arsonists. Well, we have four types of arsonists, so this kind and this kind and this
I
kind. So the
know.
same thing here.
Here's what we know
Yes.
about long-distance serial
And
killers.
here's what we know about
They do
cults.
that whole
And no,
scene.
because of course you have the sheriff talking, the nonsense about cults, and they're going, well, no, and
Yep.
then you get the whole cult thing. I mean, and they do the same thing with the pedophiles. They do this. They lose some of that later on, but, and I think that that's probably a flaw.
Only to a certain extent.
Never mind. I don't even want to talk about it. I just saw the last episode of last season again.
Oh,
Of
don't
Criminal
tell me.
Minds,
Don't
which is
tell
also a cult thing. But bringing up cults,
me.
right? I'm inundated with cults this week. And it was just an accident. It was on, and I thought,
Okay.
oh, I forget this.
Oh, I mean, that episode, this episode, the book, it's worked out perfectly for you,
But
let's
this
face
episode,
it.
and I think that that's where they started, and then, but the construction, and it would have worked. It could have easily worked. He didn't have to kidnap her, and then she had to die. And then, okay, we haven't even talked about the whole nightmare thing, because that's going to be a recurring
Yeah.
theme. This problem of they're not taking care of one another and not noticing it, and not, and re.
Yeah. Not going in and putting in the effort to look out
It,
for
it's.
each other. Yeah. They tend to let things
Well,
slide more than you
they
believe they really
shouldn't,
would.
and we'll be talking way more seriously about this in a couple of years, and in a couple of seasons, I should say, not in a couple of years.
And season 3 when we get into the heroin stuff. Although I gotta say, the show's weird reluctance to say exactly what it is he's addicted to is
Well, I
kind of
think
funny
that
to watch, actually.
there's a whole bunch of things. It's just like, I don't know. Like this episode was, well, we all get nightmares. Okay, yeah, you have to suffer through PTSD. So you all have these nice, because what they're
Yeah.
constructing, right? You can see them constructing this is this idea of a family. And that may be like these group of people are essentially a family. And it's only like, I mean, after all, Derek doesn't leave until he gets this show. SEAL team, he gets another show, he
Yeah,
wants
gets
out.
another show.
And what
He's on
they
SWAT.
do,
It's David
okay, he's on
Boreanaz who's on
SWAT,
SEAL
but
Team.
what they do, okay, but what they do then is have him get married and then create this other family thing, right? And so what they're already beginning to
Right.
do a little bit, and I'm going, maybe that may be part of why we watch, but that may also be part of why maybe they, and I don't know that they consciously are doing this, but it's almost as if in most families, you deny left, right, and center that there's a problem with somebody in the family. How often does
Yeah,
that happen?
that's
That
true.
all the things you should see,
It does.
or stepping in when you should step in, saying things. And you just kind of, well, no, it that's not really that. No, there's no alcoholism. You make excuses,
Yeah, you make
and
excuses.
whether they're, I don't think they're, I don't give them enough credit to think they're doing this wittingly. But that may be something that went as we go along, because this is still only 10 episodes. But I think,
Yeah. We're going to have to see how
but
much
this
that factors in
episode, you
going
know,
forward.
where, Mandy explains, right? And where Derek explains, but I have to tell them. And I have nightmares,
Yeah.
and and then Mandy, says this is what I do, and shows him the little picture, and then this is the first time we see all those pictures. Although,
Yeah. Including the kid he the drunk guy from the train the previous week. He's
yes, oh
already got
yeah.
a picture of him
What I would say about
in a
that,
frame.
like that's kind of funny. That one was kind of funny, right? He's got a picture of that
Yeah.
kid in the, and
Yeah, it
I'm
was.
going, and I think you make a comment somewhere, because he shows up all the time, and you make a comment somewhere. Well, yeah, but
Oh, yeah.
Mandy didn't really save him. Well, maybe Mandy can, maybe the kid learned his lesson after the train. And then kept in
That's true.
contact
Maybe
with
he did.
Mandy, and Mandy mentored him. I can
That's
create a
entirely
whole
possible.
backstory to why Mandy has that picture.
I know. I just think it's funny that the picture they so
Are you still
clearly
there?
show is a guy who Mandy 100%, I'm right here, that the picture they show over and over again is a guy that not only did Mandy not save, but he
Well,
made the
yeah, I
problem a
know,
lot
but.
worse. I just thought that was funny. I mean, it's nice that they have that kind of continuity,
Well,
but you
yeah,
got to
there's
admit that
a
it's
there,
kind of
and
funny.
maybe I like as we're talking about this, I keep thinking more and more, like there are more and more reasons why I would say why we enjoy the show. In some perverse way,
Yeah.
there's an enjoyment about the show, and the characters, I mean, the actors are great. I can't really complain about the acting. Well, Elle, she's bad.
Yeah. Al,
She
yeah.
never really got it. She
She's
still
not
hasn't.
great.
We're now into 10. I mean, even JJ is developing. They're
Yeah.
all right, really developing this character. And you can
Yeah.
tell that Derek has had years and years of soap opera work. You can tell that right away, because he
Oh,
just
God, yeah.
slips into his character almost immediate. Whether I
Yeah,
very,
seamlessly.
very
He's
Mandy
very
Patinkin, the
professional.
same thing. She
But
can't,
yeah,
she
Elle is
doesn't
just
seem to
not doing
be,
great.
and it's not the writing, because everybody else is writing, I mean, the
No.
writing in their, yeah, everybody
Is
else, because
everybody else is
they're
doing
all
just
getting
fine?
written by the same group of people that are, it's not like somebody's
The
writing
exact
Elle's stuff.
same
She
way,
never
yeah.
really,
She's
no, she's
just
just
not
not
selling
yet.
it. She really
Yeah,
isn't.
okay.
All right, so let's move on to the next episode, which is Blood Hungry. The BAU launches an intense manhunt in Tennessee for a cannibalistic serial killer whose fantasies lead him to murder. Meanwhile, Gideon is forced to stay behind and work with Garcia after injuring his leg while skydiving. That is what happens this week, and it is proof. I think proof positive that Mandy is a terrible boss.
I don't know.
He's such a bad boss. They've been working together for 9 months. He has no idea who
Yeah, we
Garcia
don't.
is.
It's quite clear that Aaron Hotchner is the boss.
Oh yeah, that he's the real boss. Now, okay, you're right. Technically, Jason only came back at the first episode. So they've only and Garcia showed up 6 months before Jason came back. So she was hired while he was on leave, on teaching leave, like on PTS, let's face it, PTSD leave. And so they've only been working together 4 or 5 months at this point, but come on, guy, you're purportedly the head of this team. She's your data person. You should know who she is. Like it's a little weird that you
Well,
don't know who she is,
Jason,
Jason.
throughout all of this, like Mandy Patinkin, he's great at the role, but you kind of sit there
Yeah.
and go, okay,
But
well, I guess
man.
working for him, yeah, he's supposed to be sort of the boss, but Well, he is the boss.
No,
you
he's
know,
kind of
he's
the
the
boss.
one that is running it, and every now and then he
Yeah.
pulls it together and decides to run things. But Blood Hungry is,
Yeah, that's true.
well, we're going to get to, I mean, there are problems with every freaking episode in this. And this, these four.
Well, these four, yeah, there really are. There are notable problems in every one of these episodes. So this is one of those episodes that specifically calls out the actual killer it's based on, which is Richard Chase, the, I think, Sacramento vampire killer. Is that where he was?
Sacramento, San Francisco, Chase?
Richard Chase. Yeah, that's the name of the real guy who, as they accurately talk about in the episode, was, you know, just super crazy. Like, he's paranoid schizophrenic, obviously, but to such a ridiculous extent that it's kind of hard to wrap your head around. I mean, the man, and this is not hyperbole, believed that alien Nazis were turning his blood into powder, and the only way to stop it was to drink human blood. Like, that's what he actually believed.
Yeah, that's, I mean, yeah, I know.
That one's hard to wrap your head around, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, he was a special kind of crazy. I don't want to be too reductive here, but he was bonus crazy, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
He was a truly disturbing figure, this Richard Chase. And, what's interesting is the real guy got caught because he was walking around covered in blood and he tried to get into a lady's car. And the lady's like, gah, and fled. But here's the crazy part, and this is where I don't understand America, right? She didn't call the cops. And I think there's kind of a reason why she didn't call the cops after the, you know, blood-flecked weirdo tried to force the way into the car, because when they were canvassing for people who might have seen something after these brutal murders, like, I'm not going to go into the details of how brutal the murders were,
no,
but they were, no, they were terrible, and they were far more brutal than the murders depicted on the show. So I guess there are some lines Criminal Minds won't cross.
Oh, there are a lot of mines.
Actually, yeah.
Believe it or not.
we're gonna talk about those lines later. Especially when we get to a little show called Criminal Minds Suspect Behavior. Seriously, in this case, he got caught because they're going around canvassing for anybody who might have seen anything. And she's like, well, a guy with blood on him did come by and... you know, did try to force his way into my car when I was at the mall. And they're like, oh my God, that must be our killer. Like, can you give us a description? And she's like, no, I can just tell you what his name is. I mean, I know him. We went to high school together. I assume that's why he approached me and tried to accost me in the mall. And so she was like, yeah, it's Richard Chase. Just go get him. And they did.
But what's really amazing is actually it goes, okay? It goes to the fact that people do not want to believe that people they know
could be murderers, yeah.
Could do this kind of thing. Because I'm sure he was a really nice guy in high school before he went crazy.
Yeah, before the schizophrenia kicked in. You're absolutely
right.
Yeah,
you know, because there are pictures of him, right? He, you know, in his high school pictures, he seems fine,
yeah.
Right? You know, so, yeah, and that just goes, but that, you know, I'm going...
Oh, I know.
I mean, think of this. You were in your house coat when our car broke down.
That's true. I had a car broke down, and I happened to be in a house coat. And, although, in this case, just someone called the cops, because there was a man in a house coat standing next to a car.
Well, I think you went in to get something to eat, but because our car broke down in the parking lot... Because you had just gotten into the car.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
they called
fascinating.
The cops. This is Canada.
This is Canada, yeah. They're but in America, I mean, it's weird. She actually gets accosted by someone in the mall, doesn't call the cops because she knows them and you don't want to predict it. It's a very strange thing. But we're here to talk about the actual episode. Right.
Let's go back.
Let's talk about the actual episode, which is, it's interesting because they go and They try to track down, they look for evidence, they try to track down who the killer might be, right? And really, like, they catch him because he's just wandering around. They're like, quick, put an eye on the churches. And I'm like, well, that's a great idea, because they figure out he has religious mania, but fundamentally, it's a man wandering around the streets, because he doesn't have a car, just wandering around the streets in blood-soaked clothing,
No,
carrying around
he did
canisters
have
of
a.
blood in them. Oh, did he have a car?
Yeah, he had the car of the grandmother.
Oh, you're right. He had the grandmother's car.
Yeah,
But the
so
point
he
is, like,
drove up.
this guy is not difficult to spot. Yeah, it's like this guy is definitively not a hard guy to spot, not a hard guy to catch. And I think that that factors in, because it's just like, fundamentally, like, he was caught because he was super crazy. The real issue here is, once you've caught him, and this is where actual psychology comes in, and I thought this was okay in the way they did it. How do you convince his mother to turn on him? And that's the part of the episode that interested me, which is Lindsay Krause as the mother who has to be convinced to accept the public
Humiliation.
approbation, you know, like, yeah, whichever one you want to call it, that comes with having a son who is a, you know, crazy murderer. And that's an
And she,
interesting idea.
but she never does.
No, she never does.
She
No.
never, she never, she agrees to allow them to give him something. He's been caught, which gets to my big question about this episode always. If she had the little boy that he'd kidnapped,
Yeah.
how come she didn't have him and keep him locked up? Like that's never explained to me
Yeah.
how she has the child, so she knows where this child that they're looking for, because that's what
Is.
you know,
Yeah. That's
is.
absolutely right.
He's kidnapped, like he's picked up this child because he thinks the child's an angel and he's going to
Yep.
bring it to his mother.
Yes.
So clearly he had to have brought it to his mother. Why didn't she keep him?
Yeah, why did she, like, I'm gonna go take this kid to a shed? Why is
And
that the response?
I'm going to clean up all the blood, but I don't hang on to my son
Yeah.
and protect him and put him away. Like, I mean, of course, then we wouldn't have a sh we would have an
Yeah, you wouldn't have a
entirely different
show.
show. It
Yeah,
would be
that's
an
true.
entirely different show. And it would have been harder to find him,
Yeah, that's true. They would
but
have
it
actually
never.
had to work for a living. No, but it's interesting because you get this weird thing where it's like her actions make, I don't want to say no sense, but very little sense. Yeah, because it's
Well,
like
maybe we just don't understand the Southern mentality like Kochner does.
that's true. Like, maybe we just don't get how desperate she is to cling to this respectability. And it is about respectability in the sense of what does the public think of you, right? That sense of the term respectability is like, what does the public think of you? What do your neighbors think of you? Like, that is what respectability culture is all about. Like, what are your neighbors saying about you behind your back? That's what respectability is. And you make a strong point that it's possible that we're too hard on the characters in this case, because, I mean, we come from a completely different kind of culture than that. So, yeah, maybe Hotch just gets it in a way that we can't possibly get it.
Not that he's easy on her at all.
Oh,
In
no, of
fact,
course.
he thinks it's a bunch of crap.
Despicable. Yeah.
I mean, this is Lindsay Krause was sort of perfect as the horrible
Oh,
mother.
God, yeah, no. And we love Lindsay Krause anyway, from House of Games on. Like, she's
Well,
just an
Buffy.
amazing actress. Oh, and then she was on Buffy the
Buffy,
Vampire
Buffy,
Slayer.
Buffy.
No, I know.
To
She was
me,
great.
Lindsay Krause is the
Will
evil.
always be the evil professor from Buffy. Yeah, no, I get that. She ran the how am I blanking on the term? The initiative. She's
Yes.
the evil lady who ran the initiative and always will be. Because, I mean, it's Linda Krause, she's fantastic. But in this episode, it's interesting because, you know, they do all this thing of trying to talk to her and trying to figure out what happened. But again, I do this in all of my reviews, and I think it's a sensible thing to mention here. On some level, you just have to say, well, isn't standard police procedure to be, if you're looking for somebody, if you're looking for a kid, and you've got the name of the kid who kidnapped him, don't you just search for all of the possible places that that guy has access to? Like, isn't your the first thing you do to say, okay, well, what locations does he have access? Okay, well, here's location A, location B, location C. Let's search all of those. And had the characters just done that and not even bothered to go and see the mother and search her car's GPS, which, how great is it? Like, just blast from the past. Them being like, oh my God, the car has a GPS in it. Like, this crazy future technology of GPS that's in the car. Like, wow. All of our now we live in a time, and this is why it's so hard to write crime fiction, where all of our phones keep track of where we are all the time.
Time, yeah.
But yeah, here it's just shocking there was a car. But literally, would you not, in this situation, were you the cops, would you not just, okay, well, here's who he is. Let's check all of the locations he has access to and search there. And they searched there and they found, it was in the grandmother's old shed, which is great. But it seems weird that they had to go to her car's GPS to figure that out rather than just looking up property records, which it seems like it would be easier to do.
Well, yeah. I mean, outside of all of that, I mean, the thing is she is the big poobah in town,
That's true.
right? So she owns a lot of these properties, and it should have been easy enough to assume that her son would have stuck with what he knew
Yeah,
and
had
would
some
have,
place to go. You're right. You're totally
And they
right.
go, now, mind you, they did go and check the gardening shed, and that's where they found out that the mother had cleaned up the blood.
That's true. But that was only on their pro on their like her house, their property. If she owns all this other property, you check the other places too.
Yeah,
It's just.
but everybody in town would know it. This is a tiny little town in where
Yeah, no, that's true.
Tennessee or wherever it
It's
is. Yeah,
wherever it was
Tennessee.
set. Yeah.
It was in Tennessee, but yeah, it's a strange episode they have. Of course, we have two red herrings.
Yes, which is
And
fun.
neither one seems like this is one of those ones where they're jumping down people's throats, and I'm not sure why.
To make it
Right?
seem, no, and honestly, there is a reason. It's to make it seem like they're doing their job. And like that's all it is. It, no, I mean it sounds like I'm being sarcastic, but the real reason is it's like if the characters are yelling at somebody, it seems like they're doing a good job, is why they're jumping down everybody's throat all the throats all the time. And it's not good writing, but it is what writers say. It's what I always say about the show. I mean, you're familiar with my love of the show, well, contempt for, but que sera sera, the show CSI Miami. Where, and I mean, if you've never watched an episode of CSI Miami, I'm gonna tell you something about the show CSI Miami that makes it infinitely more fun to watch. All right, what you want to do is here's how you know who the killer is in CSI Miami. Every single character the team meets on an episode of Criminal, CSI Miami, every single person they meet in connection with the crime, they will find a way in their first conversation with the person to say, "Is that why you killed her?" Like they will accuse every single person of murder, right? And then that person will angrily deny it, and then they'll just keep talking to the cops. And I'm like, "Hi, I mean, I'm not a lawyer, but I feel like after the cops have accused you of murder, maybe shut that down until a lawyer shows up. Maybe don't keep talking to the cops after they've accused you of murder, because suddenly, I mean, this to use a technical term, there now is you are now a person of interest in the case, and there is a custodial heir to any further conversations you have. So I would say, if a cop accuses you of murder, don't keep talking to that cop. And I think in the entire history of CSI Miami, only one person ever stopped talking to the cops after they accused him of murder. And I'm like, you're a frigging hero. God bless you. But anyway, what I was saying was, so that's how you know. And the way you'll know who the killer is, for no discernible reason, one character will not be accused of murder. Right? And then that
Or
person will turn out to be the killer. And I swear to God, it's because they think so little of their audience that they think if earlier in an episode a guy said he wasn't the killer and then he turns out to be the killer, they think their audience will say, "But wait a minute, he said he wasn't the killer, so he can't be the killer." I'm not saying the audience actually would say that. I'm saying that is what the makers of CSI Miami believe would have happened had they ever been put in a position where they had a character deny being the killer and then turn out to be the killer. I think they worry the audience would have felt cheated. But anyway, this all goes back, sorry for that bizarre tangent. Oh,
Oh,
about red
okay.
herrings, but you
And I
know.
just watched an episode on the weekend because I had a really messed up weekend. And so I watched it. I actually did see an episode of CSI Miami
Wow.
that
I hope it was
we can
great.
talk about when we
Some
do.
other time, yeah.
Yeah, it's because it was about a beauty pageant for little ones,
Oh.
5 and 6 year olds.
Oh, God, that's terrible.
So we've got murder, pedophilia, the whole thing.
Yeah, no, of course. Jesus. Yeah, that's.
Anyway.
Well, everyone is unbelievably creeped out now, so let's move on.
Okay. In
Let's
this
keep this
shot.
going. Yes, it's the thing is it's the fundamental thing is, and I know that Criminal Minds is dealing with heightened situations and, you know, like really extravagantly evil people, but just the idea that like this woman, her son has already been caught, right? Her son he's caught. It's like it's over.
Yeah.
He's going to an insane asylum forever.
Yeah.
But at that point, she's still like, well, better not tell anybody about the kid he kidnapped because then people will know he kidnapped a kid. He's already going to jail forever, buddy. You know?
Yeah,
Is
and
it
she's,
really
but
a
she's,
priority?
the problem is, she's the one who hid the child.
Yeah. And I get that she's the one who hid the child, but it's
And she
like,
keeps checking up on him.
my statement would be, once your son has been caught, like just all you have to do if you're her, and again, I'm ascribing a kind of logic that maybe I shouldn't, because characters don't act logically. And I guess what's happening here with the character is she feels like she's committed to a course of action. But the fact is, it's like you can say, I know my son had gone crazy. And he showed up with this child, and I, you know, and then he ran off, and I couldn't bring myself to turn the son in, so I locked up this kid to protect him from my son until the police found him. That's really all you have to say. I locked away this kid to protect him until the police found my son. Why didn't you call the son and your cops? Because he's my son. You know? And it's not a good reason. But it's also true. She didn't call the cops because it's her son. You know, it does have the benefit of being the truth, which helps a little. I'm not
And
saying
I,
it
okay.
would have been a convincing position for her to take, but I'm saying you could make that argument. But you're
And
right. Yeah.
she tries to make that kind of an argument. It's just, oh, I mean, this woman was so concerned that nobody knew that she had a crazy son. This is also another one of those incidences where they do tend to focus on it. I mean, at least Hotch does, like that whole business of look, you know, she didn't go and pick her son up
Up, yeah,
at
when
the
he
at
got out
when
of
he
his
got out of the
asylum.
insane asylum, right? So he stopped taking his meds. You know, she wouldn't want to admit he was in the hospital.
That's true.
She, you know, but I mean, this whole business of child abuse that runs through this, again, you know, you're going, I don't know, this is the evil mother. We will run across a lot of evil mothers
Oh my
that watch.
God, it's if the show has a sub theme, it's that there are terrible mothers out there.
Oh yes, there are horrible fathers, but they do tend to follow the idea that somehow or another it's these overbearing mothers that cause most of the problems. It's
Yeah.
It's a fascinating thing.
It's a fascinating regressive view of human development.
Well, yeah.
But
It's
yeah, but again, there we're going to have
substantial.
plenty of opportunities to talk about that one going forward, as you say.
Yeah, it is interesting because it is still a standard
A
view.
trope, yeah. It is
It's in
a standard trope
society
that
as a
shows up
whole.
in yeah, in society, not just in fiction, but it's like in the way people assume the real world works. Like it's not just like
Like
we
this
joke
is,
about fiction, but the fact is people really believe the world works this way.
yeah, I think that that's
Well,
the thing.
again, I always go back to that statement that, that here's the length to which that's a thing. When I would always hear comedy lines on TV shows about, overbearing mothers and the father complaining that the son is going to get turned gay if the mother keeps coddling him. And I always thought, oh, that's a funny line, right? And then, it was not until years later that I would discover, no, that was what psychologists believed. Like those characters in the TV show are comedically referencing the actual belief of clinical psychologists up through the 70s.
And into sort of the 80s
It's
gener
a
it
kind
hasn't
of,
ended it hasn't
I don't know, it
ended
hasn't completely ended, but it isn't a mainstream belief the way it was. The DSM no longer lists homosexuality as a disorder caused by overbearing maternal figures,
yes
or
the
that can
gen
be caused.
yes they don't use the generation of vipers too.
No.
A book that is horrendous.
Yes, that is a nightmare for, ruining people's lives.
Yes.
But yeah, it's an episode that does psychologically interesting things, but I don't think is a great episode of the show. So let's move on to our next episode, which is kind of a fun one. We'll discuss. Oh, but one last thing though. You're not hungry for blood. You're thirsty for blood. That's just can't be hungry for blood. It's not a solid. You're thirsty for it. Anyway, next up is What Fresh Hell? When an 11-year-old girl is abducted from a Wilmington, Delaware community park, the BAU works with local authorities to determine whether or not her father was responsible. Okay, so yeah, this one, it seems like the father stuff is kind of strange because they are correct to
Initially.
centralize. To suspect him, but it's weird because it's this move towards realism for the characters, but we, the audience, know right away the father has nothing to do with it. So it kind of feels like it's interesting because we're wasting our time with an attempt at accuracy. And I just think that's an interesting way for the show to run because it's like we know the father didn't do it.
Yeah, because we
Fathers
saw
don't
it.
like d fathers don't pretend to lose dogs in a park to abduct their daughters.
Well, and she's shown in the car banging on the window.
Exactly. Like, that's
Yeah.
not something that would happen if it were her, as we learn
Father.
immediately, beloved father.
Yeah. So, but what is interesting, this goes to this idea, which will come up later, that at this point they are still, as you say, trying to be realistic about this. Nobody calls the BAU initially. You know, because, and so it's been 20 hours or whatever, because they thought the father had, that she had run away to her father. Now,
Yes.
nobody ever thinks, well, maybe the father would have called the mother
I know.
instead. Although I could bring up a personal incident where, you know, a
You
child ran,
probably shouldn't, but anyway.
well, where a child ran away from home and didn't want
Yes. Their
anybody
father,
to
parents
tell
to
the
know.
parents to know. So, you know, these things that, that's a whole ethical issue. But here, right? Okay, the cops did what they did, and then the father calls, right? And so they know it's not him. They call the BAU. They're there because it's just in Delaware, so it's a hop, skip, and a jump.
Oh my
So
God, it's a
they can
2-hour
be
drive.
there.
It's fine. Yeah.
They can be there and know. Didn't they take the jet? I'm sure
Of
they
course they took the jet. It's a 10-minute jet ride, but I'm just saying, they could have driven.
They could have driven really quickly, but they needed
And
to stay.
interesting thing here, because it brings up the episode actually does a relatively, I hesitate to use the term realistic for anything about Criminal Minds, but a relatively straightforward version of how this kind of investigation actually goes, you know, which is just trying to figure out if there were witnesses to the abduction. And the good move that you mentioned in the Richard Chase episode we just watched, where people don't want to assume their neighbors are serial killers and child molesters. So you put out a call to say, we're looking for a witness driving this car, not for a suspect driving this car.
Yeah.
And that is very accurate. That is to how they actually work. And that is a well-observed thing for the characters to do. So I was very happy to see them doing that. That was a nice touch, I thought.
Yeah, it goes to show that at
it goes to show that they are thinking about it. Like, they are thinking about this kind of stuff from time to time.
Yeah. You know, it's and this whole business of the sexual offenders.
Yep, the National Sex Offenders Registry.
Being accessible to people and how people get on that thing, and it has nothing to do, so they just assume that what everybody on that, I mean, Bill Cosby is going to go on the sexual offenders
list, yeah.
Registry. You know?
He will.
And, you know, so I think that was actually, that was all very real, actually very realistic.
No, it was.
Something
it was
that might have happened.
And well handled.
You feel that just kind of works.
It was
now,
I know it felt, you're right, it felt accurate. Here's something that really bothered me about the episode, though. And you see how you feel about this. Here's the thing really, truly bothered me about the episode, which is, so you got these characters, right? They are, they've figured out who their killer pedophile is, right? And then, so they go to his house, and they're like, we gotta find this girl somewhere inside his house. And then they're like, well, we searched his house. She's not here. I guess we gotta give up. And then they act like it's a grand innovation or like a stroke of genius. They're like, wait, there's insulation on his broom and his shirt. She must be in the attic. And I'm like, you didn't search the attic?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Like, what? Like, an attic is a big part of a house. How are you not searching the attic? What is wrong? Do you not want to find this girl?
Yes, but then Mandy Patinkin.
No. Would, he has his brilliant, his flash
look,
of genius.
Yes, he wouldn't look like.
He wouldn't look like a genius if they didn't have him be the one to figure out that they have to search the attic.
That the insulation fell down. Yeah, I mean. At least lift up the attic. There's a thing there, so you at least lift it up and take a look around.
I mean,
I thought that was bizarre.
It was, right?
Know? Yeah, really, really bizarre. And of course, but then, you know, you ended up having that tension, and then you end up having Mandy Patinkin be able to, you know, go in and get her and, you know, bring her little toy and take her back.
No, it's all sweet, yeah, but it's like,
it's sweet.
By comparison, I think of that scene from the start of Luther, right? From the first
is
the first scene in the first episode of Luther? Like, and this is the first scene in the first episode is, you know, like, this guy has got a kid locked up somewhere and they can't figure it out. And, I mean, Luther kills the guy to get the information, but it's that is a legitimately well-hidden child.
Yes.
Okay, he didn't kill him, he just puts him in a coma. But still.
Well, he allows him to fall.
Oh, come on. Well, yeah. No, that's not a thing.
No.
Allowing someone to fall is the same as killing that person. Come on. Let's not pretend there's some difference.
Okay, but let's go back, right? Let's go back to Criminal Minds. I just finished watching all four seasons of Luther. So.
Isn't Luther the best?
Yeah. So everybody go watch Luther.
Yeah, it's a great show.
This is... It's just that, you know, they need exigent circumstances
to
fit in, because everything, and I'm going, wait a second, but they found all of this child pornography and they found all of this other stuff, and I'm going.
I know that you need a lot more than that, yeah.
And even the suspicion, because he drove the kind of car, I like, but
They
we
had plenty to get that guy on.
Yeah, but it's just like, but we have to find the child. Well, yes, of course you have to find the child
Yeah, or
because
else there's no, yeah.
children who are alive don't die on Criminal Minds.
That's true. We if you see a child alive on Criminal Minds, as a general rule, you're not gonna see them dead. General, oh, I'm thinking about the one about the phone call. Ooh, did we ever see that kid alive? The really stupid episode about the guy who like calls people up with a child voice and then kidnaps and murders their children. I'm trying to remember if we ever saw the kid alive in that episode. You
Well,
know
we'll get there. We'll
what? We're
get
gonna
there.
get there, but we'll try to remember if we ever see it, because you're right. The general rule in Criminal Minds is if you see a child alive in the story, that child will not die, as a general
Yeah,
rule.
as a
And we're
general
saying
rule.
child, teenagers don't count. Teenagers get
Yeah,
killed on the
teenagers
show.
teenagers get killed, but we're
If
talking
they're
about
believe if you
children.
can if it can be played by an 18-year-old believably, then
Yeah.
yeah, they'll die on the show. But like the character might be 15 or 16, but if it's an 18-year-old playing it, that kid's, there's a good
Absolutely.
chance that kid's down for the count.
Yeah, that
It's a
can
very
happen.
cavalier way of describing that, and I apologize for
Well, no, but it goes to
the sensibility in
the
their world too. Yeah.
sensibility of the world that they are creating for their viewers. I
That's
mean,
true,
that's the
because it's
issue I'm
not,
talking
yeah,
about.
it's the
What is
safety of
the
children,
world,
yeah.
that they are telling? I mean, they even talk about, I mean, the one thing that I really liked about this episode, because this is the episode where they talk about how the worst thing in the world was when they did that whole stranger danger stuff
I
with.
know.
See, that was a brilliant piece, and I wish they would continue that because it still is, I mean, I can remember because I had to review for the Ottawa board. So I'm reviewing all of this material that they are going to put into the system. Now, did they listen to me? Of
Course not. No,
course
no.
not. Why would they listen to me? But my biggest complaint was, but don't you understand that where sexual abuse is concerned, it's
It's
someone the
family
child
members, it's
knows.
friends, it's someone, it's a teacher, it's a youth counselor, it's a
Yeah.
coach, it's someone, it's the guy who works at, what do you call it, Beavers. Do they have
Well,
beavers?
no,
Do they have
yeah.
Beaver
Well,
Scouts in
that's
America?
exactly what I was going to say. It's
Yeah.
the Boy Scouts. Well, beavers are just early Boy Scouts.
Oh, okay, good.
Right? It's your Boy Scout. You've got to be more afraid of your Boy Scout
Than you are about a
leader.
van giving out free candy.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Candy from a stranger, excuse me. No, candy from a friend is the
That's
problem.
the issue. Yeah,
Yeah.
especially if that friend is Bill Cosby. Du-du-du-du-du-du-du-du. All
It
right.
wasn't candy. But
That was a
anyway.
horrible thing to say, and I am sorry I said it, but you see why I thought I had to.
Well, he's
Bill
going down.
Cosby's a monster, is the point.
He's going down today,
He's
so.
going forever. He's going to be in jail forever. It makes you feel
Or
like the world is a good place sometimes.
he's in an institution.
Ooh.
Because his wife would, he cannot be let go to his wife. I don't care how old he is, whether he's blind or whatever. His wife
Yeah.
will let him do it.
I know. Here's the thing, Camille. You've been signing off on this act, on this behavior
For 40
for way
years.
too long. To right. For way too long for us to give you the benefit of the doubt now. But yeah, we're not here to badmouth Camille Cosby, though. We're here to talk Criminal Minds.
Yes.
So let's
But
move on
no,
to our
you're talking about the good thing about that and
Yeah. Oh yes, the good thing about that episode, which is no, mentioning that stranger danger isn't the real issue, although your point I think is going to be they then don't continue with that logic in the world of the show. Generally, it is when children are victimized, just a creepy stranger who finds them on the internet. Generally, while they talk a good game about it here, generally it is not a show that addresses the reality that you are most likely to be assaulted or even killed by someone you know rather
Because
than a
they,
stranger.
because even here, right,
Yeah.
is that they show like that this guy was as they say, probably known in the neighborhood, because this is when they're still doing their recreations of the crimes.
Yes.
And the recreations of the person. It's interesting because they lose that really too.
Oh, but. Yeah, no, because I mean, but that's just a budget thing and a time and episodes thing. They're just like, every time we hire like an extra or even an actor to be in one of these flashbacks as the hypothetical killer, that's money we could be spending somewhere else. So they decide to start saving that money. And the show misses out on something when they're talking about the whole, like, because those sequences create this whole idea that, you know, the killer could be anyone, and showing this faceless version of the killer before you meet the real guy is an interesting concept.
Yeah.
But they give that up pretty quickly. But yeah, I think you're right that the one really interesting thing in the episode and the one useful thing in the episode is the acknowledgement of the fact that all of these programs about Be Safe Kids left out the fact that, yeah, you're actually in danger from your uncle.
Yeah. You know? And when you tell your mother, she's going to say, oh, no.
I know. Mother's not going to believe that her brother could have done something like that. And you're going to be called a liar. Anyway, before we go down this incredibly depressing rabbit hole, which is what this is.
Yeah, well, it's contemporary.
No, it's true, though. I mean, it's relevant to this episode, but it's
relevant,
rough to think about.
It's relevant to today's news, but...
Yeah. Oh, especially today's news, because we're in the middle.
Yeah, okay.
When the thing is, if you're wondering why we're so upset about this right now, at this moment, a guy is trying to get onto the Supreme Court who has been credibly accused of sexually assaulting people throughout his life when he was a handsome young high school and college student who everybody liked and thought was, you know, just the bee's knees. So yeah, it's relevant to the conversation.
It's relevant.
But it is. It is really relevant to the conversation. If you're wondering why we're getting so stuck on this, that's why. But yes, let's move on to our next episode, which is the entertaining-ish episode Poison, which, if it's based on a real thing, I couldn't find it, so I'm just going to put that out there now. If this is based on an actual story of some kind, it's not a story I'm familiar with,
I haven't run across anything so far in all the reading that I'm doing, too.
Okay. You know, so
other than it goes with the Tylenol poisoning and few other things, you know.
But the Tylenol poisoning, we'll talk about that later, but
apparently
it was probably the Unabomber.
Yeah, well,
People now think there's a good chance it was the Unabomber who was the Tylenol poisoner as well. All right.
Well, anyway.
That's a conversation we'll have when we get closer to episodes about the Unabomber.
Yeah.
All right, so, Poison. When 8 Beechwood, New Jersey residents are poisoned with a combination of LSD and Rohypnol, the BAU juggles identifying the poisoner and preventing a larger-scale incident from taking place. Interestingly, that is what they believe is going to happen, but it's actually a smaller-scale incident that's going to take place.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't stop it, something less severe is going to happen. Of course, you can't say that in the marketing of the episode, but I just think it's kind of funny that that's how they phrase it. When in fact, like, the guy had relatively modest ambitions. He just wanted revenge on the company that he felt screwed him over. He's a very, like, he's actually very simple, I'm not going to say simple-minded, but simple in his desire for revenge, to the point where it's like, oh, you kind of almost didn't need to go after that bank first.
No, yeah, I mean, he wanted to make sure that it worked. I mean, that was
literally, but it's like, here's the thing. If you want to make sure it worked, hey, you remember that that lady who was part of your scheme who you were planning to kill? Just have her lick an envelope. Oh, she licked an envelope and died? Well, there you go, it worked.
It worked, yeah.
Like, I don't know why you needed to do the bank portion of your plot.
Because
you needed the guy to be catchable. Yes, you're right. No, I mean... From a story standpoint, I understand why it had to happen, but I'm saying from this character's internal logic, I'm not 100% clear why he had to do that part.
Yeah, well, it is, but it is interesting. That part of it may be, but it is, well, then they wouldn't have caught him, and then they wouldn't have, then
Well,
he wouldn't
no,
have been able to give them the red herring
I know.
of the party at the
At the
place.
workplace, yeah. Oh, absolutely. No, I get it. I'm just
That's
saying, it seems like this guy caused problems for himself that led to him getting caught when, he absolutely did not need to. That's all
well.
I'm trying to get across.
Yes, but then again, because he's a chemist and because he's a genius, he's not necessarily got the
Thinking the
same
plan through
kind of.
that. Yeah, okay, you're right.
I mean, you think Big Bang Theory, you think Sheldon who comes up with these convoluted schemes
Yes,
when it
exactly.
could be really simple. And
Okay.
in some ways, I think you could argue that he would do this complicated thing. And yeah, I mean, I didn't find that as preposterous. Of course, you have your red herrings, you have their potential rape that isn't a rape,
Yep.
all of these things. Although that, why he was trying to hide all of that, I don't know. The
Yeah.
boyfriend,
Yeah, the
why can't,
boyfriend is.
don't talk to anybody about, well,
Why?
why?
Yeah, like she went nuts and had some kind of a psychotic break after you guys had sex. Like, maybe. Although, you know what? I think we can once again just go to bad decision making in the moment in that one.
Well, no, what happens is they fall asleep.
Yeah, and then she
They
wakes up
have
and
sex, they fall asleep, she wakes up and she's crazy.
Yeah. And
Right?
but what I'm saying is if I'm gonna in the same way that you said this about the mother, I'm gonna say that you know what? It's entirely possible that when his girlfriend woke up after they had sex and having a like clear psychotic break, it is entirely possible that his first reaction would be, I don't wanna get blamed for this, and they're just like yoink and just disappears. And tells her to, keep shtum about the whole thing. I'm not going to say that that is completely impossible. I'm not
It's
saying
not.
he's a good boyfriend. He's not. I'm just saying it's not implausible that that would be his reaction.
No, and so then we have the L again.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway.
L. L, L, L.
Yeah, real problems. But anyway, yeah, the funny thing is it's a pretty straightforward episode, really.
Oh,
I
yeah.
mean, it's not one of those episodes where you have to spend a lot of time. It's telling you about the horrors of working for corporate America and
Yep,
how they'll
as a
steal.
how
Although,
they'll screw you over at the first opportunity.
of course, when I'm watching that, I'm going, okay, but did he do it on company time? Did he create this thing on company time?
Oh, wow. So your first thought is maybe he doesn't have an argument.
Well, no. Well, I'm serious because
No,
when
because their contracts do say that. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right that their contracts fully state it, anything you do on company time, you own parts. But it's possible, like, I'm not trying to defend the mass murderer,
that
right?
happened to the post-it notes guy.
It did happen to the Post-it Notes guy. I'm not trying to defend the mass murderer, but it's entirely possible that his contract said he would get a percentage of anything he owned on company time, and they tried to screw him out of that. Because that is the kind of nonsense that you believe they would pull,
Yeah,
right?
but then a good lawyer should be able to rip that apart for God's sake.
Well, yeah, but he's also, deranged.
Yeah,
Never
well,
overlook the fact that he's also just a deranged person.
okay, no, but this is the thing about companies.
That's true.
Don't screw over your, because if they had never basically downsized him
Yeah.
and the rest of it probably he would have been frustrated, he would have been angry, but he probably would never have done this had they not downsized him and put him in some picayune job.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And then he wouldn't have. It's sort of like if only Donald Trump had brought Michael Cohen into the White House, Michael Cohen would have never,
Would have
ever
never turned on him. Yeah,
turned on
that's
him,
true.
right?
I think we can all agree that's
You
definitely
know,
true.
it's that's the kind of thing, you've got to understand that you can't just walk all over people and expect that there's going to be no.
No
I mean,
consequences to your actions.
I was not exactly. I would not have been, let me put it this way, and this is me being horrible,
okay.
But if a couple of those company executives had actually
died,
I would have seen it as justifiable homicide.
Jesus! Well,
sorry,
this took a turn. Wow!
Sorry. But,
no, it's fine.
You know, and I suspect, you know, a jury just might see it that way and give him sort of involuntary manslaughter or... You know, okay, so he was momentarily crazy for a few months.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, it's just horrible how institutions go out of their way to destroy human beings.
That's true.
And
yeah. So,
you know, but that... No, I mean, it does...
But that's not what the... It's just weird that you're making really good points. That are profoundly not what the episode is about.
Okay, but no, but, okay?
But, please.
That may be, when I try and think about this in terms of the episode as a whole,
yeah.
Right? Why they have to do the bank thing and why they have to do all of that.
Yeah, because they need to make him unsympathetic.
They have to make him totally unsympathetic, and he has to have done something really outlandish and horrible
yeah. So
that...
It can justify, I was thinking
of
him as a
guys.
Villain.
Yeah, he's a total...
Yeah, because every now and then, it's not frequently that the show feels like we're on the wrong side of the story, but this is an episode where they had a danger of, you're right, the episode absolutely had a danger of making us feel like, are they the good guys here?
Yeah, you know,
and that is the last thing you want people to think in your, you know, Criminal Minds episode.
Yeah, right. No, I mean, the FBI is always, they are always the good guys.
Yeah.
Right?
We cannot allow their actions and their motives to be questioned, ever.
Ever. So, you know, although they're, well, anyway, but, you know, you get sloppy plotting, but I have a feeling, okay, that may be why they have to turn this guy into a monster. And they did it very successfully with...
Oh, yeah.
By making it that man who practically killed his own child at the
beginning. Oh.
I mean, that sets the whole thing
quite
up.
Effectively. Yeah, it does.
And unless you think about some of the other things that's going on. But that is such an effective opening. Like,
it is.
I cannot
watch
it. It's such
a creepy scene. It's tough.
I close my eyes after, you know, the first time you watch it, right?
But, yeah, but when then when you're rewatching, you're like, I don't need to see this again.
I just can't, that poor little kid and
oh,
that
God,
man.
Yeah.
And then the fact that they say, well, maybe he was pissed off at his kid. I'm sorry. I know.
You want to slap
so
them.
Mad. You want to slap whoever wrote that line up the side of
yeah.
the head. No,
yeah.
that's
he,
not
Maybe he was blaming his son for, you know, the wife cheating on him and leaving him. Like, yeah, that's not the story here, guys.
You know, and I'm just going, wait a sec. I mean, like it was this effective opening, and then they wrecked it.
Yeah, and it's like, dear the show, like, I know there's not enough time for everything, but you can't give me a moment later in the show, oh, by the way, that kid's going to be fine.
Yeah,
you can't mention that later in the episode. Oh yeah, no, the kid got medical treatment. He's gonna be fine. Oh okay, good. He woke up from his coma. Yay! Like
yeah,
you can't find 5 minutes for that. No, 5 minutes, 20 seconds for that later in the episode.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I was just, it was just like, no, just let this man be grief stricken because he's done this to his child.
Yeah,
just that's it.
That's
don't
all you need.
Give me all this other crap. I don't care.
Don't give me all of your frigging profiling.
Crap.
About
yeah.
how maybe he really wanted to kill his son. Screw you.
Oh, yeah, screw you. That was exactly. And, you know, and it's, so as I said, it's always, there are a couple of things in here when you sort of think about them. They avoided the trap of making
yeah.
you feel sorry for the guy who did this.
Absolutely.
You know, and it doesn't come up very often that usually, although, you know, most of these guys have pretty crappy lives and then they end up killing.
Oh, yeah. That is the story of these guys. But
Mm-hmm.
can I mention something
Okay.
I think is kind of important? How can you not see that this guy has poisoned himself? He's sweating profusely. Like, from the minute he sits down in the interview room, he is dripping with sweat, and everyone else looks fine. It's like, we, watching this on a television, notice this. How do you, the characters who within the reality show of the show are sitting 3 feet away from him, not notice that this man is clearly very ill? And you know that he's a poisoner, and your profile is that he's gonna kill himself. And by the time you get him sitting down next to you in the thing, he is dripping with sweat and clearly ill. But you're like,
Yeah.
oh, I wonder what could be going on there. And
Well, you
they're
know, yeah.
totally surprised when he winds up dying. I'm like, really?
Really? Yeah.
Wasn't
Why?
that
Why?
central to your frigging profile?
Yeah, and that's exactly it. I mean, and then that allows Gideon to go, "Oh, I guess our profile wasn't wrong after all."
I know. Oh, God
That
damn it,
means that
Gideon.
he's doing something else, that this was just a red herring.
I know. It's just kind of funny that it's like part of your profile was suicide, and here's a man who is just obviously deathly ill standing in front of you, and he's a poisoner. You're not
And
gonna.
yeah, and it's not his end game.
No, it's
That's
obviously
it.
not his
It
end game.
can't be his end game because he told them, and
Yeah.
they did find the botulism. There was no
Yep.
question, but that couldn't have been his end game. It's just, yeah, I mean, that is
It's just a weird thing from a scripting standpoint to have the characters miss something that is not figuratively, literally right in their faces.
Yeah, well, because if they hadn't given that profile clearly that he was going to commit suicide,
Yeah.
and when they look at him, they say, "Oh, well, he must be the exception." What? No.
Why?
Why? Yeah, why? That's, I have to kind of, we haven't got, have we gotten to any bomber episodes yet?
Yeah, that's like the second episode's about a bomber. Don't you remember it was the hilarious thing where it's like, but wait, he's not a bomber, he's a forger. And
Oh
then, like, he
yeah.
blows himself up.
And then but th so this is another instance of that.
Yeah.
The same thing that
He's
okay,
not a
they
blank, he's a
profile it,
blank,
they
yeah.
know what he's going to do, right? And then they yank it back, and then it turns out that their
No, they were right
original
in the first
profile,
place. Yeah.
they were right in the first place. And that doesn't necessarily ring true to me at all. From everything that I read about the investigative support unit.
No. No,
In
not at all.
fact, if anything, they have a really hard time dealing with any exceptions like BTK.
No, I mean the entire like the cornerstone of their logic, like how they operated, was these guys never stop. Like that is the one thing that they were completely sure of, is these guys never stop, ever.
Ever.
And so BTK completely ruined their track record. Like he really did. No, it's
Anyway,
fascinating.
we'll talk
Yeah,
about
no,
that
we're talking about BTK next week.
because he does eventually sort of start up again, but they
Well,
catch
no,
him.
but I mean that's debatable, because does he start up again, or does he just want the attention? Does he just miss the attention? Like, again, we're going to talk about this next week. I'm not going to get into BTK's headspace, 14 years later. But
No.
anyway, so yes, I think that's going to be it for this week. Thank you for
Yes.
joining us for this bonus length episode. I'm going to apologize for the sound quality in the first half of half of the episode. Long story short, it was interrupted by a tornado.
And I am sure that I had said some wonderfully insightful things that never got taped, and I
It's
can't
true.
remember what they were
You
now.
went on. I brought up something about John Douglas, and you gave a really good 40-second response that I didn't get to hear because of a tornado
The
and did not
tornado,
get
and then all
taped
of a sudden you phone me on the
back,
cell
and it was
phone.
like, what the hell? Yeah, tornado. All
Okay.
right, so I guess that's that. Obviously, if you want to hear more about Criminal Minds, you can check out the reviews I wrote of all of these episodes at Varjalon.com. But join us back here next week, where we're going to be doing an episode about just two episodes of the show. If you want to watch along with us, it's going to be 14, Riding the Lightning.
Yeah.
Maybe the most important episode of the first season. And then, of course, 15, Unfinished Business, the BTK episode. And I believe you read the entire John Douglas BTK book just to get ready for this episode. So I think that's going to...
Oh, yeah.
We're going to have a lot of insight going into this one.
Well, yeah. It was an interesting read. It was actually good read. The book before it was sort of and the book after it seems to be but that was a good read. We'll talk about it next time.
As always, I just want to thank you for listening and say I hope you're enjoying Criminal Minds as much as we are.
We love it. I don't care. We say all sorts of horrible things about it.
We love it, but it's a complicated love.
Yes, very, very complicated. Okay. Goodbye.
We'll see you back here.
Au revoir. Adieu.